You're an important man, brother. Way at the back there. God is good. All the time. Bon Dieu, bon.
Amen.
Tout l'air. Bon Dieu, bon. It's sure good to be saved.
Sure.
I was saying to the preacher, I am really enjoying my Christian life.
Yes, sir.
I'm just amazed. I'm serious. I'm amazed what God will do. I'm amazed in the things he's doing. And sometimes you are like, you pinch yourself.
Yeah.
Think if it's real. And to think that God could use a nobody. Mm-hmm. I'm testimony to the fact that God can use anybody.
Sure.
If you'll just avail yourself. And I thank God for that. I thank God for you. And your burden, your passion. I keep saying, the longer I spend time with your pastor, the more I see how unique and special he is. The burden he has for souls. I pray you recognize that. Had a good time this morning. And then tonight, 2 Chronicles. Why? Brother Jack Treber preached and preached and preached on that. He is one of my favorite preachers, Jack Treber. I preached this message for the first time at Brother Celestine in Grenada, I think 2 years ago at Happy Hill, and preaching revival, Brother Francis Houston. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You see, the word of God is no respecter of persons. And I have issues with this verse. In my flesh, that is. I have a lot of problems. This verse literally walks on me. I see myself. And even as I preach, I have to say I'm guilty. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. The Bible says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I said, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Father, help us. God, I need help. Again, I've known a long time, it's not by might or manner of presentation, but God, is by your spirit that you will do the work. If you don't work, if you don't move, it's all in vain. And so we pray that you'll make tonight real. Make your word real to our hearts. God, we need revival. I need revival. Would you grant the desires of the pastor's heart? He's carrying a deep burden for his church, the church that you've called him to pastor. Lord, you said in your word, if we delight ourselves in you, you will give us desires of our hearts. Would you do that work tonight? Mindful of the working of the emperor, you bind his forces. Be exalted tonight through the preaching. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.
Sir.
We call this revival meeting. I understand the term. But we really can call revival meeting really logically. As you examine the text and you don't understand, this verse was spoken to King Saul, the delegation. If my people, which are called by my name, if they messed up, if they, as a nation of Israel, turn their backs on God, God promised if they call back on him, that he'll hear the cry. He said to them, if they turn, if they rebel, if they become disobedient, there's a recipe for God to have favor,
yeah. Right.
And draw close to his people again. Mm-hmm. In America, in the Caribbean, and in the world, we need revival.
Yes, man. Yeah.
I need revival.
Yes,
sir. The church will not survive without God's outpouring. Any pastor who's pastored for some time would agree. And God may be sending little scatter drops. We just had a tent meeting just before I came up, 2 weeks. It did something on our flesh. In fact, the folks from the area asked us to go for another week again. And that's where Brother Marvin Smith is going to go to. When he comes, we'll put a tent up and go for another 2 weeks. But spiritual work tires the body.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Spiritual work is against the flesh. We saw about 25, 26 people made professions of faith. Mm-hmm. And that was a blessing. Little scattered drops of what is possible if God is in charge. Revival is something we cannot produce. Revival is supernatural. It comes only by God. We can meet the requirements of revival, but it's not necessarily means that revival will take place. The requirements for revival. We'll see that. Only God can bring revival. God wants to bring revival. Amen. This text speaks about a possibility of revival. And there are four enemies of revival. I want you to go look at. I want to say tonight that the lost cannot be revived. What the lost needs is salvation.
That's right. Yes.
The lost needs repentance and turning to God. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you heard Brother Celestine's testimony. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And know for sure you're saved. But after you're saved, there comes a prolonged period of time in your life. Anybody remember when they just got saved?
Yes, sir. Amen.
And the excitement that was there?
Yeah.
You know, you just wanted to be in church.
Yeah.
You just wanted to read the Bible. You just wanted to pray.
Mm-hmm.
You just wanted to be among Christians.
Right.
There was a joy in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You felt like you're walking on cloud nine. I mean, you felt you were just out of this world.
Yeah.
Spiritual life was just perfect. You were asking the preacher so many questions. I mean, you wanted to do things in the church, and as preachers, you sometimes held back, and you felt like a horse. You want to bolt out, and the preacher is trying to keep you back for your own good. Because zeal without knowledge would kill you.
Yeah.
You remember that? How many remember the first day they gave Christ their life and how it felt? How many of us remember that? What has happened now? What has happened now? What has taken place now? What has changed? It's not God. God is still there.
Yeah.
What has happened to us? I'm not sure I can deal with all four, but there is one I really want to deal with tonight. And this one, I have a lot of problems with. This one, really, preacher, and Brother Jack Chiba walked all over me. This one, all of us preachers have problems with it.
Yeah.
This one, all Christian workers have problem with it. This one, every human being has problems with it. And it's pride. Pride. Isaiah put it well. You know, I really have issues in my life. You know, I found out the more God uses you, the greater the temptation, the greater possibility for pride in your life. And as I sat back and listened to Brother Tribble preach on pride, and other men preach on humility, I had to get to the altar, and even while they're praying, I say, God, forgive me. You know, when we think we're above pride, then that's when we need to be careful. Only watch as pride is the enemy for revival. If now I want to watch this. If my people, which are called by my name, I wonder what the writer said would humble themselves. Why didn't he first of all say, you know, do other things? Why didn't he say, if my people would pray? Now, he did say that, we'll deal with it. Why is the first thing that the writer deal with? If my people would humble themselves. You see, pride. Speaks of me thinking more about me. Pride speaks of me thinking more about my ability. Pride think of me putting myself in a position that I ought not to. Pride means I'm stepping into something that does not belong to me. Pride says I don't need God. I can do it by myself. I call the shots in my life. Let's look at some scripture verses and we'll come back to this. But let's look at Proverbs. Chapter 6. There is a universal condemnation of pride in the scripture.
Right. Yes.
Proverbs chapter 6. Look at verse 16. There are six things of the Lord, what's the next word? Hate. Yes, seven things are what? So God hates it, and God calls it what? Abomination. What's the first one that comes out? That's amazing. That's amazing. First thing that comes out is pride. Look at chapter 8, Proverbs. God, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to do what? What's the next word? Pride and look at chapter 11. Look at verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh what? But if the lowly is what? Look at chapter 16. Look at verse number 5. Everyone, without exception, that includes the preacher, includes the preacher's wife, includes the missionary, includes the Sunday school teacher. There is no exception. We understand that? Look at verse 5. Everyone that is what? Is a what? Wow. Wow. Look at verse 18. Pride goeth what? And a haughty spirit before. Better is he. Better it is to be of a what? Humble spirit with the what? Divide his poise. And there are scripture verses and scripture verses that deal with the issue of pride and how God looks at pride. I find, preacher, I don't know about you, but I find some things that can be associated with pride. And it's in me. It's in you. It's in you, Brother Celestine. It's in you, preacher. It's in all of us. I want to list some things that I've experienced in my life. And that I see in other believers that shows evidence of pride. Preacher, have you ever counseled somebody with somebody? They come to you and they have a situation. And the reason why they come to you is because you're the pastor and they have issues in their life. They want somebody to talk to them. They come to you and they say, preacher, this and this and this is my problem. Or this and this is what I'm praying about. Or this and this and this is the situation. What do you think? What do you have to tell me? And you begin to tell them and they get angry with you. Have somebody come to me. I'm a pastor. One of the hardest things for me sometimes to do is to accept correction. Accept correction. And my wife, I mean, I know when I goof, when I mess up. I mean, thank God for preachers' wives.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm telling you, preacher, I would thought I've done the best job. Probably my best day preaching. And I leave the pulpit, and man, I've got it made. Man, what a bomb, man. What a message. And I get in the vehicle, and I'm driving home, and my wife is quiet. And I go, oops. And I've learned not to say anything. Just keep quiet. I get home, and then the real preaching begins. Thank God for my wife. She will not corner me in front of everybody. We get home, and she says, Hans, you know. And it gets to my flesh. Gets to me, because I felt I delivered a perfect sermon. And then she begins to tell me A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And Brother Byron, she's right. But I don't want to tell her she's right. So I just keep quiet. We have problems sometimes accepting corrections. You ever find someone who does not want correction? Yeah. They're full of pride. You know, there's no one who's perfect. Every one of us needs somebody to watch over us. All of us need help. All of us mess up. And to refuse instructions, to refuse to listen to what somebody has to say, oh, we're so full of ourselves. We're so full of don't want to hear. But we got to listen. Got to listen to what people have to say to us. We got to listen, especially to those God have appointed over us. We don't want to listen sometimes to what pastor have to say. Because sometimes the things he has said to us is against what we want to do. Are we okay? Are we okay? Mm-hmm. But it's amazing that God has put him in place to help us. And I have found, maybe I'm the only wrong person here. Maybe I'm the one that deals with that issue of pride. But I'm telling you, in my own life, preacher, in my life, like to listen to instruction. In fact, I don't like to listen, period. You ever amazing that somebody comes to you and say, preacher, I have this issue? Or your child comes to you and say, I have this issue, and before you start saying, they give you the problem already and they give you how to solve it. Maybe I spoke too fast. You didn't catch that one. You ever go to somebody or your child comes to you and say, he comes to you and say, look, daddy, I'm having this problem. And before you start to say something, you say, okay, this is what it is. That's how I have to solve it. So why come to me in the first place? When we are so full of ourselves, we don't want to listen to anybody. Sometimes our noses are so long and we cannot even see our noses are long. He said that the emperor has no clothes. Nobody wants to tell the emperor he has no clothes. You know, as a preacher, I thank God for that. Anytime God calls you, he gives you what is required. Right. And you see people walking down the road. You see the direction they're going to. You know they're heading for disaster. You tell them that. But they don't want to listen. You know what it says? Because I'm full of me. I'm full of me. I don't want to hear anybody. I don't want to listen to anybody. All I want to hear from them is I want their approval on what I want to do.
Right.
I want them to sign the check. But I don't necessarily want their advice. Full of ourselves. And that is a hindrance, God working in my life. You know, Brother Celestine, you face that. There are several people that we've met on the road. And you, their lives are wrecked. Let me share that with you. This better not get St. Lucia. This better don't get to St. Lucia. I won't call names. But listen to me. A young man came to me for counseling. About getting married, wanted to get married. And I said to the young man, and he told me who the person was. And I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, I wouldn't go there if I were you. He said, why? I said, because this young lady don't respect her dad. This young lady don't respect her preacher. Mm-hmm. And if this young lady don't respect her dad and her preacher, she won't respect you tomorrow.
Exactly. That's right. Sure.
But he said, I love her. Mm-hmm. So he went ahead and got married. You're having a lot of problems now. A lot. My heart weeps for them. But he will not listen. Why? Because he's full of himself. He thought he knew all there is to know. And when we get to a point where we think we know all, we don't want to listen to sound counsel, we don't want to listen to advice, then we are full of ourselves. And that hinder, listen to me, that hinder God from working in our lives. Because all we see is what we want. By the way, that person is my brother, my blood brother. I feel helpless. I feel hopeless. I can't do anything. Pride has an intense desire to be noticed. Pride has an intense desire to be noticed. Wants to be seen.
Yeah.
We spoke this morning about faithfulness. It's required in stories that man be found faithful. Faithfulness don't have to be up front. Faithfulness is not recognized today. The person who day in, day out. Someone is faithful, they don't necessarily want to be up the pulpit. It doesn't matter. You ask them to clean the church, they'll come clean the church. They don't want to be noticed. In fact, what I found out, I'm a preacher, yes, I'm a pastor. But I said to our folks, the less that is seen of me, the better. Brother Chris Cheney was literally chairing the meeting, Pastors Caribbean Conference, for the past 5 years. I just sat. You know where Brother Fisher goes? He believes now is the time for Brother Cheney to step back a little. It's a Caribbean conference. He says, you're the host pastor. You got to be up there. For me, just sit in the corner. I don't know what it is about us. We want to be seen. We want to be recognized. We want to be patted on the back. We want to be complimented. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong in these things. But if all you desire is for people to see you, you got an ego problem. And so, if they call to just sweep the floor, you wouldn't do that because you can't be seen there. If they call for somebody to go in the prayer room and pray, you won't do that because you won't be seen. You want to go up to sing, you want to go up song lead, you want to go up to preach, you want people to see you. Look at me, look at me, look at me. An intense desire to be seen. Full of ourselves. You're not called to pray, you're upset. You're not called to teach, you're upset. Full of ourselves, pride. We won't listen. We won't take advice. Intense desire to be noticed. You know something else? Pride is not thankful. But I'm telling you, we live in a thankful world. You know, you do 100 things for somebody, good things, and do one thing they don't like, and they kick you to the curb. People use and abuse people. We're talking about that today in the vehicle. All people are concerned about is me. Me, I, and myself, my family. Not thankful for what God has done. Not thankful for what your parents have done. Not thankful for what the church has done. Not thankful for what the preacher has done. Not for what a song leader has done. Not for what the people in the church has done. All we think about is me. So full of ourselves. So unthankful. I've got a saying in our church. We just appointed about 4 men as leaders of our church. Because I'm aware that what God is trying to do with Ambassador, as we reach out to the, I was saying to the preacher, I fly out a lot. I do a lot of preaching across the Caribbean. And so Ambassador has to be strong for that to happen. And so we appointed some men to help me in the work. But I said this to the men. I heard it from an older preacher, and I thought he was crazy until I understand what he said is right. If you refuse to follow, you cannot lead. Could I say that again? And maybe you have a problem here, but I know for sure you have a problem in Ambassador Baptist Church. I said to our folks and to our men, to our leaders, to our youth leaders, to our ladies leaders, to our Sunday school teachers, if you refuse to follow leadership, you cannot lead. Because all you see is your ideas, your thinking, what you want. Leadership involves fellowship. And But I'm telling you, we have a problem there. We don't want to follow. We want to lead. And we do anything to lead. You know, lead, that's caused so many church splits. Somewhere in the church, things where the Baron is not capable of leading anymore. And let me usurp his authority. Full of yourself. Maybe it's not, we don't have that in this church. But just in case it's in your heart. Leadership. If you refuse to follow sound advice from your preacher, how you expect others to follow you? How? You say to your Sunday school class, listen, I'm the teacher, follow me. But you refuse to follow your pastor. Are we okay? You refuse to follow. You say to them, I'm the head of this house. I'm the man of this house. Follow me. You refuse to follow God. And these things hinder the blessings of God. They hinder growth. They hinder revival. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Amen. You know, it's a unique thing, an ambassador. You have all types of abilities in the church. And God knows what I'm trying to do. I make a mess sometimes of that. We try to blend all the talents together. Because I know, listen, if ambassador would rise and utilize all the abilities that is there in the church, they would conquer the world. I believe that. I look at the folks in our church, and boy, a lot of them have so many abilities. But they don't see it. But I see it. And I say, listen, if you'd humble yourself and learn to forgive your brother, learn to work with your brother because you cannot do without him. With your sister. Learn to work together as a congregation. And don't lift yourself with pride. Humble yourself. So what, you got hurt? So what, somebody said something about you? So what? I said last time, feelings are meant to be hurt. That's why they're called feelings. Are we okay? Yeah. But these things rise up in the congregation and they hinder God from blessing the congregation. So that guy with a special ability is upset with that guy because the pastor seems to be showing preference to this guy over there. What's the fuss? Why you want to be seen and recognized so much? Why? Wait, your turn will come. Are we okay? Wait. Be patient. Be faithful. Do your bit by yourself. Yeah. And I find in our churches, God help me, I find it in me. And brother, like Paul says, daily, I try to crucify flesh. Daily. Learn to follow. Learn to humble under authority. Brother Doug Foster was home, and he gave a wonderful message on that. And Brother Celestine, you know, in ranks, how many people who serve in the army, in the U.S. Army and military? Anybody here serving in the military? One, two. What branch you serve?
Army.
In the army. And who was above you?
A lot of people.
Okay. But and I don't know much about military, but he was explaining that, you guys know. When the Bible says about saluting people, Above rank, yeah. When someone is above you, is coming, what do you do?
Depending if it's depending on the rank.
Uh huh. Why do you do that?
Respect for the position.
Shoo.
Their leadership above you.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? A human, secular human, would do that. And we have problems doing that in the church. How about that? Isn't that amazing? That they drill. We have two police officers in our church. Lawrence is now in charge of the drug squad. So he's above rank on Shane. I'm a pastor, I'm a nobody. I'm his pastor. So I go to the police station sometimes and I've got to honor him. I've got to respect him. Bama, you're a pastor, boy. No, got to respect him. When it comes to spiritual things, you got to respect me. You don't have that problem. We don't like to follow instructions. You know, let me say something else. Pride always would criticize and try to make itself look better by putting down the other person. You ever heard of gossip? Oh, yeah. You didn't hear what happened to the pastor's wife? You didn't have that sister in the church, that brother in the church, and you spreading the gossip, you have no facts. You don't know what took place, but you're involved in the gossip. And in the process of trying to eliminate the person, because that person is holding a position that you want. Are we okay? Maybe that person is too close to the preacher. Maybe that person, you know, is now the, I want that position. What do? You start a gossip. Try to tear the person down. Make the person look bad. So that the person be useless. You get in the person's place. Could I say this? What goes around comes around. Could I say this? The same weapon used against others will also be used against you. If you gossip about people, others will gossip about you. If you destroy somebody's character, others will destroy your character. If you take others down, others will take you down. It's amazing when there's a lot of preaching in there. When Jesus said to Peter, it's not by the sword. You know, in essence, what Christ was saying to Peter, you live by the sword, you die by the sword, Peter. If you think it's a sword that you have to use to protect the kingdom, then others will use a sword against you. And that happens so often in our churches. Why? Because we're so full of ourselves. And so I want this. And the only way I can get this is taking you down. Taking other people down. Why? I'm so full of myself. There is no grace. There is no mercy. There is no forgiveness with me. Put other people down. Evidence of pride. Pride only think of itself. I think of only myself. It's all about me. You know, we're from China originally. And the Chinese have a wonderful way of humility. Christianity teaches us a lot in the physical sense. Our Western civilization is taught to destroy others. It's heading your way in your country now. We only think of us. We only exalt us. Nobody else. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I found out it's not about me. It's about him. And so if it's all about him, I have no rights. I don't determine what happens. It's him. My cousin, Brother Celestine, also passed away while I've been in the States. And they buried him on Wednesday this week. Thursday, Friday. By now, it's rotting. The body. You know what I'm talking about? Smelling. I wonder why people didn't go down there and open the casket right now. You wouldn't do that. I wonder why they're going to peck on people and try to destroy others. If we humble ourselves, God will exalt us. The other way is pride goeth before destruction. Everyone who's ever exalted himself have been abased. Everyone. And everyone who have been abased have been exalted, lifted up by God. I'd rather God exalt me than man exalt me. I'll say to your preacher, what an embarrassing thing it is to go to a wedding feast, go to a party, go to a wedding, and there the chairs set up above where the bridal party sits. And one of us, we're not part of the bridal party, we go and sit up there. And there are seats for special reserved for special invited guests. And you presume yourself to be specially invited. I mean, you the life of the party. You the one in charge. And you go and sit up there, you know, and wow. And everybody looking at you, wow, that guy is a good guy. That guy is a strong guy. That guy is a powerful guy. And you enjoying the... And the master of the house comes in. Looks at you and say, what are you doing up here in front of everybody? And say, this is not your seat. Here's a chair at the back. That's your seat over there. And in front of everybody, you have to get up from the seat of recognition and go and sit in the lowly seat. And then that person sitting in the lowly seat, he said, now you, sir, come up there. That's your seat above. It's the master of the house who does it, not us. Stay humble. Learn to listen. Learn to accept advice. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about his work. It's about what he wants to do with your life. Don't push yourself. The less that is seen of you, the better. The less that is seen of you, the less pressure you face. Stay in the background. Let God exalt you. If my people. Now I've tried to be practical tonight. Because pastor's heart is to make this church, with God's help, more glorious than last year. If everyone in this church is clothed with humility, you're okay. It's going to be okay. Remember, contention always comes with pride. Remember that. Let's pray. I'm telling you tonight, I fight with this. Do you? Father, you who know of our heart, and the practical ideas from your word, evidence, indications, you said in your word that if we abase ourselves, we'll be exalted. You know the desire of the pastor's heart to see something special happen in this church. Will you work by your spirit? And God, just in case our hearts are lifted up, would we surrender to you? Ask for forgiveness and stay low. You will exalt us in your time.
Your pianist is coming, and we have a chance now to humble ourselves. Now, problem is, God spoke to me, and I'm going to spend some time with the Lord on this tonight at the invitation. Problem is because of pride, we say, well, what will people think about me? I don't want to scoot around somebody. I'm wondering, you know, I'll do it later. Just all the pride, all the excuses, just until you lose yourself, until you forget yourself and think, what does God need me to do? And your mind's on God. Your mind's in the Lord and what He. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. And when you're not always worried about people, and you're more worried about, and your mind's just on God, not worried about yourself, your mind's on Him, that's when you respond. And we're going to pray and have an invitation. If God spoke to you about pride tonight, then why don't you join us and spend some time with Him and just say, Lord, you know, there's some things here about me that You've spoken to me about. I need to lower myself a little bit and put you first and exalt you and humble myself. Father, thank you for the chance to hear your word preached tonight. I pray as we realize that's how revival comes. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. It's the first step. May we do so. Bless the invitation and speak to our hearts and help us to fix this in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Just come right now. If God's speaking to you, come right now.